Daniel Chapter 1 Daniel in Babylon, 1886. Daniel was in Babylon in fulfillment of prophecy. More than 100 years before this, a king of Babylon, Merodach-Baladan, had sent an embassy to Jerusalem to congratulate King Hezekiah on his recovery from his sickness, and to inquire about the going backward of the shadow on the sundial of Ahaz. Hezekiah was so elated over such a notice of himself that he showed them all his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah and said to Hezekiah, "Behold, the days come that all that is in your house, and that which your fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And of your sons that shall issue from you, which you shall beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Accordingly, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up and besieged Jerusalem, and took it. And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. We know not how many there were chosen to be thus taught. We only know the names of 4 who were of the company selected to be taught the learning of the Chaldeans. And we would never have known the names of even these 4, if they had not had the courage to stand upon principle and firm conviction of truth and duty. They were to study 3 years, and then pass an examination for places in the king's favor, and it was to be at the king's expense. The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. It is evident that Daniel was the one who led out in this, and that the other 3 decided to stand by him. It was Daniel that purposed in his heart that he would not do as was expected by the king, nor as all the students, but his 3 brethren, were willing to do. At this time Babylon was in the height of its glory. It contained between 2 and 3 million inhabitants, and all the Babylonian plain was teeming with population. Wealth and magnificence, with their inseparable accompaniments, luxury and intemperance reigned on every hand, and this too, in heathen manners. It was in the midst of such scenes and such influences that Daniel was placed when only a mere boy. But boy though he was, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself by conformity in any way with any of their customs, nor allow himself to be defiled with any of the evil influences that were around him. He refused the king's meat and wine, and asked that he might be given pulse to eat and water to drink. In the Revised Version margin, we have herbs as the alternative reading for pulse, and herbs conveys the correct idea. It was what would be now called a vegetarian diet, the diet that was originally prescribed for man, and those who, even in this day, conform most closely to it, are in every way the better for it. It was not altogether a miracle that their countenances were found fairer and fatter than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. True, it must have been miraculous that so marked a result was seen in so short a time, only 10 days, but that result would not have been seen at all if they had not adopted the diet. God works by means which he himself has appointed. And the closer men conform to the Lord's appointed ways, the more wondrously will he work in their behalf. If the Church of God today would adopt the principles of Daniel, their power and efficiency would be increased manyfold. Daniel was set there to study the learning of the Chaldeans, that he might successfully pass the appointed examination and stand in the presence of the king. To accomplish this in the best way, he adopted a vegetarian diet. Those who did so with him were approved of God, and succeeded so well that they were 10 times better than all the wise men in the realm. We are set in the school of Christ to study the Word of God, that we may successfully pass the appointed examination and stand in the presence of the King of Kings. If such a course would accomplish such results in the study of heathen learning, why would it not accomplish much more in the study of the wisdom of God, as given in His sacred Word? Without hesitation, we say that it would. But where are the Daniels of today? Where are they today, even in the church, who will put themselves upon a strict regimen that they may have clearness and strength of mind to discern the precious wisdom of God? The clearer the brain, the clearer the thoughts. The purer the blood, the clearer the brain. The purer the food, the purer the blood. Therefore, the purer the food that we eat, the better will be our power to think, and the more clearly we can discern the truth on any point. How many 10,000s are singing, "Dare to be a Daniel!" But alas, how many tens can be found who do really dare to be Daniels? It is said of these four Hebrews that by this course their countenances were fairer than all the others. In this lesson is a proved prescription which we commend to all young ladies who wish to have a fair complexion. It is better than all the paints and powders in Christendom. We once heard the question asked Dr. Sims in a large audience, "What is the best means of preserving a fair, beautiful complexion?" He answered, "Avoid tea, coffee, pork, oysters, fish, etc. Use a vegetarian diet." That is the truth, and it is a truth that is taught in this lesson from the first chapter of Daniel. This very lesson is of the first importance to all people in this our day. We say indeed, in every sense, "Dare to be a Daniel." The following by Dr. G.O.P. Hayes, in Half Hours with the Lessons, is exactly to the point. When Daniel made up his mind not to defile himself with the king's meat, it was purely a question of principle. It seemed utterly foolish. King Nebuchadnezzar and Melzer both believed that the popular opinion of the day was all right in saying that wine and fat meat were necessary for a clear complexion and a quick brain. The same false notion is widely held now about lager beer and tonics. "Is it true?" asked the health records. "Gout, liver complaint, and the hundred-faced dyspepsias are nature's protest against mince pies, fruit cakes, brandy puddings, and gluttony. You may not wish to obey nature's health laws, but you cannot defy them and escape." Just now the papers are reviving the discussion of the value of the Mosaic law on food as a law of health. The health and brain power of the Jews would teach the Gentiles a lesson if the Gentiles were not so heedless. Many will doubt this statement and stick to Melzer's notion that if they restrict themselves to Daniel's diet, they will soon become worse liking than others which are of their set. Well, why not take Daniel's way of settling it? Just try it. A.T. Jones.